Spirit FM now presents A Question of Faith. A Question of Faith is underwritten by St. Joseph Communications, bringing you the finest Catholic presentations. Their toll-free telephone number for information is 1-800-526-2151. And Spirit FM is grateful for the generous monthly support of St. Joseph Communications and listeners like you. Well, joining us once again this morning, Dr. Scott Hahn, live from Steubenville, Ohio. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Gus.
What a blessing it is to have you back on the air with us this morning. We started a topic last week that we would like to continue on the theme of and kind of graduate into other areas this week as we go along. And Scott, before we get started, I just want to let you know that we received so many phone calls about the program last week. And so just to affirm you in what you're doing on this radio station, that God is really using you and blessing our listeners through this program. So thank you again for just being a part of what we do here.
You are most welcome, and we stand back and just give glory to the God who can do so much with dust.
Amen. Amen. I am just in awe, absolute awe. Well, let's go ahead and recap kind of what we talked about last week. Last week, the topic was justification. And I think probably the one point, if I could make any one point that I would like to restate from last week, is that in the Catholic belief, Scott, justification is a process and not a one-time event. Some have viewed it as more of a courtroom kind of scene, but the Catholic belief is more of a family kind of scene. So if you would kind of just real quickly recap that for us, and then want to move along to sanctification.
That's right. Your summary did a very good job of encapsulating it all. Justification is a juridical act on God's part, but it isn't God the judge, it's God the Father, because the judgments of God reflect the who of God, the person of God, and especially the first person, and so they're fatherly judgments. That does not diminish the standard, that does not lessen the severity, that does not in any way lower the bar, because the Father, quite frankly, expects much more from his children than a judge sitting behind a bench in a courtroom would expect from defendants. But at the same time, the Father shows mercy, and that is what really gives us the larger context in which we understand justification. God the Father looks at us, and we're runaways. We're prodigal sons and daughters. And yet, through Jesus Christ, we have been restored. And that restorative act of God that he performs through his Son, Jesus Christ, is what he declares to be real and true. When he justifies us, he makes us right with himself as sons and daughters who are restored to the Father through the firstborn among many brethren, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That is justification, and it is a reality that has a definitive beginning, but that beginning does not take away the fact that it is a process any more than the fact that my six kids all had births that gave them life and standing in my family, but at the same time, it didn't negate the process of growing up. It establishes the process of growing up. And so just as we all grow up and become more and more of what we were at birth, children in our family, we grow up as sons and daughters, so through the new birth of the Holy Spirit, we become more and more mature as sons and daughters of God. That is justification as a process. But at the same time, we have to acknowledge that sanctification is entailed as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 says, "For you were washed, you were sanctified, and you were justified." Now, if Paul was simply a traditional Bible Christian Protestant, so I suppose he, as I would have done, say, 15 or 20 years ago, would not have said, "You were washed, you are sanctified, you are justified." He would have reversed that. He would have said, "Well, you're justified, and then you're sanctified, and, of course, you're washed." And I never really understood exactly what baptism did besides symbolize salvation, but in the Catholic Church and in the tradition flowing from the New Testament, especially from St. Paul himself, baptism really is the sacrament of faith and thus the sacrament of our justification and sanctification, which is why Paul can say, "You're washed," referring to baptism, "you're sanctified because you're consecrated in the Spirit who accompanies the water, and you are justified, you are conferred, or God confers upon you the gift of Christ's sonship." But this raises the question, exactly how does justification relate to sanctification? I mean, we use those two polysyllabic terms very infrequently in most Catholic conversations, but in the Protestant world, our separated brothers and sisters speak of those two things quite often, and it's important for us to understand them, not just so that we can converse with them, but so that we can appropriate our own tradition, so that we can understand the Word of God. But I think it's important for us to understand how those words are quite frequently used, because for people who regard justification as simply a past event that occurred at the beginning of the salvation process, that is, when God declared me right, the traditional Protestant view is just that. That justification is not a process, it is a past event, a declarative judgment on the part of God the judge, and then it triggers sanctification, which continues on. Justification does not continue, sanctification does. Well, we dealt with that last week as to why, in fact, justification is also a process. We looked at Genesis 15, verse 6, where God declares Abraham to be justified, a passage which St. Paul frequently cites to illustrate and to exemplify our justification by faith. But Paul could not have possibly used that verse to refer to some initial act of justification that occurs at the beginning of our faith walk with God, because in fact, Genesis 15, verse 6 describes an event that happened much, much later in the process of Abraham's walking by faith with God. And so the only way Paul could make that point, if he's thinking as a Protestant, would be to wrench that text out of context and give it a meaning quite alien to its particular place in Genesis 15, verse 6. On the other hand, the Catholic view, as we saw last week, fits perfectly with Paul's usage and with the context of Genesis 15, because, in fact, Abraham had been walking by faith. But from year to year, you pass from trial to trial, from test to test. Your faith is tested, and then your faith expands. And then next year, it's tested again, and it grows even more. And that's why justification is a process, and justification can increase, because sonship is constantly maturing. Now, again, how does it relate to sanctification? Well, we've got to take one giant step backwards and remind ourselves of something, that what we're talking about is the mystery of our salvation. And I think the best thing to picture in our minds to understand this is a triangle. A triangle with the point at the top, like a pyramid, as it were. And at the very tip of the triangle, we ought to put the word salvation, and understand by salvation that we aren't just saved from sin and from death and from hell. We are saved for God. We are saved for sharing God's life. We are saved for sharing divine sonship. But at the tip of the pyramid, we ought to put that word salvation. And then at the left base and at the right base, we ought to put two other words. At the left side, we ought to put justification. And on the right base of the pyramid, we ought to put the word sanctification. Because it helps us to remember that for Paul, salvation is a two-part experience. Why is that? Well, because salvation means sharing the life of God. That means one divine nature that we share. That's why 2 Peter 1:4 says, we have been made partakers of the one divine nature. But at the same time, we have three divine persons taking up their residence in our souls, because St. Paul also describes how we have become temples of God, temples of the Trinity, so that all three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now reside in us, and they fellowship with us. So between the one and the three, between the one nature and the three persons, we have two processions. This is a deep teaching that we can keep simple early in the morning. We have the Son proceeding from the Father, and the second procession is the Holy Spirit proceeding from the Father and the Son. That's why theologians speak of filiation or generation. That is the eternal generation of the Son from the Father, and then the second procession that goes on eternally within God, that we all confess as Protestants and Catholics, is that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. This mystery is not something we contemplate enough. I pray to God that Catholics discover more and more through the Bible, through the doctors and the fathers of the church, through the catechism, this simple mystery that describes the inner life of God. This life is self-donation. The Father donates himself in generating the Son, and the Father and the Son together breathe out the Holy Spirit. Now, if you take that step back, you'll see, oh, now I understand that when I am justified, I come to share Jesus' sonship. When I am sanctified, I come to share the Holy Spirit's sanctity. We speak of the Holy Spirit, Sanctus Spiritus. We speak of sanctification, where we grow in holiness. What's the difference between justification and sanctification? It's the difference between the Son and the Spirit. The Son imparts to us His sonship, righteousness, obedience to the law. We obey the Father's will. The Holy Spirit imparts to us the holiness of the Holy Spirit, the sanctity of the Sanctus Spiritus. What is sanctity, and how does holiness differ from righteousness? Well, that's a hard question, because we use those terms interchangeably, and then we end up confusing ourselves. But if we see sanctity or holiness as sharing in the Holy Spirit, then we will come to see that justification is what I receive as an individual when I get the individual gift of sonship. But sanctity and holiness is what we experience in worship, in communion. Because things in the Bible, especially way back in ancient Israel, were sanctified or consecrated for the purpose of worship. Priests were ordained and consecrated. The altar was consecrated. We have the sacrifices were sanctified. Everything that was used in worship had to be set apart. Kedushah is the Hebrew word. It means to set apart. The Greek word agiazo means the exact same thing. We are set apart to worship God, but we are set apart to worship God in community. Not in a socio-political community, but in a liturgical body of worshipers. That's why community is not as good of a word as communion. We are justified in Christ, given the gift of divine sonship, so that we can obey the law of our Father and mature as sons and daughters. But we are then consecrated, we are sanctified, so that we will live the life of sons and daughters in the family of the church through our worship, through our prayer, through the liturgical life of God's people, which consists most especially of the Eucharist, but it also consists of the Word being read and proclaimed. It consists of all seven sacraments being celebrated, so that whenever the sacraments are celebrated by the people of God as the family of Christ, therein lies our sanctity, our holiness. That's how we grow in sanctification, so that the Christian life is never a lone ranger affair. We are never simply finding ourselves by ourselves, keeping the law, growing in righteousness, me by myself, you by yourself. No, we are members of the mystical body. We are brothers and sisters in God's family, and that is what sanctity, holiness, sanctification consists of. That's why the same Holy Spirit who binds the Father and the Son as one binds us together as one in the church, and that oneness is sanctity, holiness, and therein lies our sanctification, so that I'm always keeping the law, I'm always growing in my justification for the sake of other people, for sanctification, for growth in this communion in the body of Christ.
Scott, we know as Catholics that there is sanctifying grace. This is the vehicle that God uses to sanctify us, to make us holy. Talk to us about sanctifying grace.
Well, you know, the passage that comes to mind is a text that Paul gives us in 1 Thessalonians. And it's the same text that the Catechism quotes in Article 1995 when it explains how the Holy Spirit is the master of the interior life by giving birth to the inner man. The Catechism says justification entails the sanctification of his whole being. And then it cites 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. You know, sometimes we wonder, should I be a doctor? Should I be a lawyer? Should I go to that college? Should I marry that person? This is the will of God, your sanctification. It isn't some secret plan so much as it is growing in holiness by loving the brothers and sisters who make up God's family. So sanctification consists first and foremost in reorienting ourselves toward other people in a life of prayer. The interior life is the beginning and the end of our sanctity, our holiness. Because when we pray, all three persons share with us communion. And then when we pray for ourselves, when we pray for other people, we become like the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We become a person who lives to serve other people and to bless other people, and to share the living God with other people as well.
Scott, yesterday in the liturgy, well, first let's go back to last week. Last week when we began this topic of justification, we were in the book of Romans, in the liturgy of the church. And today we find ourselves in Romans chapter 6, verses 19 through 23. Now, yesterday we were in Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 18, where St. Paul is talking about sin and using our bodies for righteousness or sanctification instead of for sin. So I'd like to do the first reading from today's liturgy because it lends itself to this topic exactly and perfectly from Romans 6, 19 through 23. And St. Paul, as he follows up from yesterday's reading, says, I use the following example from human affairs because of your weak human nature. Just as formerly you enslaved your bodies to impurity and licentiousness for their degradation, make them now the servants of justice for their sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you had freedom from justice. What benefit did you then enjoy? Things you are now ashamed of, all of them tending toward death. But now that you are freed from sin and have become slaves of God, your benefit is sanctification as you tend toward eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I think that speaks volumes about just what we're talking about today.
Boy, you put your finger on it, Gus. You know, verse 19 says, for just as you once yielded your members to impurity. You see, the whole law of holiness back in the book of Leviticus, you know, we have the Ten Commandments in Exodus, but we have an entire system of regulations concerning holiness, purity and impurity, defilement and holiness. And that is exactly what Paul is referring to. He's not just talking about justification now. He's preparing us to understand the deeper dimension of living for other people, recognizing what John Paul II calls the theology of the body. If we were just disembodied souls, I suppose justification might be all we needed. But because we have bodies, we are capable of serving other people. And so we have body parts that can raise food to the mouths of the hungry, that can clothe the naked, that can serve our neighbor, that can love our own family members. And Paul says, do not yield your members to impurity, but instead sanctification. And that, by the way, is the exact same thing that Paul goes on to say in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse, chapter 4, verse 4 and 5 as well. As soon as he's done saying, this is the will of God for you, namely your sanctification, he goes on to say that you abstain from unchastity, that each one of you know how to take a wife for himself in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust. And it goes on basically to say that you know how to use your members for holiness. So our bodies are like temples. We worship with our bodies. Our bodies are living sacrifices. The language of liturgy is a foreign language for most American Christians, even if they're Catholic or even Protestant, or Protestant perhaps even more so. But the fact is, the language of liturgy is the reality of holiness. We have to see that God does not save lone rangers. Salvation is not just individualistic. It is more than just me being made a child of God. The thing that pleases me the most in my kids is when I see them serving each other. If they really want to obey me, they don't obey me in isolation from each other. They obey the spirit of my laws in the Han household by loving each other and playing with each other and deferring to one another. And that is the reality of holiness. It is this interpersonal growth in loving others as you love yourself.
Amen. Scott, as we wrap up the program today, I want to just reiterate to all of our listeners, whatever Christian tradition or even non-Christian tradition they may come from, that we don't do this program, although we speak of Catholic and Protestant, the nature and the focus of this program that we have you on the air for every week is to straighten out myths, perhaps, is to say what the Catholic Church teaches. And if we use the terms Catholics and Protestants, we are not slamming on anybody by any stretch of the imagination. We're just trying to communicate to our listeners what the Catholic Church teaches and what Catholic tradition is. And I guess as I wrap up the program today, and I'd like for you to lead us in a prayer, the bottom line is, Scott, the bottom line is that without God, without a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, No one can be either justified or sanctified, and that's the bottom line.
That is the fundamental truth, and the fact is also that we share with our Protestant brothers and sisters in common so much more than we differ on. And quite frankly, the reason I talk this way is because it reflects my experience. I was a Protestant, and when I was somewhat anti-Catholic, and I would target Catholics. Now that I'm a Catholic, the last thing I want to do is target Protestants. I want to share with them the truth that I've discovered in love, but I do beg my brothers and sisters forgiveness if and when I ever transgress the boundaries of charity, respect, and gentleness.
Amen. Yes. Well, Scott, would you lead us in a prayer that through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, we can indeed further our sanctification during this life on earth?
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the free gift of salvation by grace. We thank you for the gift of justification through Christ, whereby you have conferred upon us the gift that is all-surpassing, Christ's own divine sonship, so that we now have a standing in your family that makes us your beloved children. And today we want to thank you for the gift of sanctity, the holiness that flows from the Holy Spirit, who consecrates us, who sets us apart, so that we can be living sacrifices, that we can offer the members of our body in purity to you and in service to one another. Oh, help us, Father, in Christ's name, to grow in sanctity, to become saints, to live out holiness in our thoughts, in our words, and in all of our deeds, for the glory and honor of the triune God. For we pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, brother.
Oh, gosh, thank you.
We appreciate you so much. God bless you, and we'll talk to you in a week.
Great, look forward to it.
All right, that's Scott Hahn once again joining us for A Question of Faith. A Question of Faith is underwritten by St. Joseph Communications. St. Joseph Communications offers a complete line of Scott Hahn's books and tapes and so much more. St. Joseph Communications, bringing you the finest Catholic presentations. Their toll-free telephone number for more information is 1-800-526-2151, and their address on the internet is www.saintjoe.com. And Spirit FM is very grateful for the generous monthly support of St. Joseph Communications and listeners like you. It's 8:30, and you're listening to Spirit FM 90.5 and 88.3. We're a broadcast ministry of the Catholic Diocese of St. Petersburg.